welcome all of our visitors and the ones online as well. When Pastor David asked me to preach, we had no idea that we was going to have three funerals the week before Christmas Day and then sunrise service. You know, I'm getting ahead of 2021 already. But Christmas Eve service, and he said, "I think I'll be spent." And I said, "Well, I don't know that I'll be spent, but we'll try." And, you know, he left it open for me to pick what I preached today. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of John. You know, we have been in a sermon series called Christmas 2020. And if I know anything about, you know, my dad told me when I was turning 40, getting real close to 40, he said, everything goes at 40. At 40-year-old, you lose your eyesight. You can't do what you used to do. And just everything goes at 40. 40 is a bad age to be in. I reached 40, and I reached 45, and I reached 50. But at the age of 50, I've got to have reading glasses anymore. I don't have 20/20 vision anymore. You know, and I got to thinking about that this week. Thinking about 20/20 vision. You know, our God has 20/20 vision in the past. He has 20/20 vision in the future, and he has 20/20 vision right now as you and I are talking. He knew you was coming to this service today, and it was no accident that you came here. And as we read in John, I want you to just John 1 through 7, and I was really going to stop at 5, but you'll see my purpose here in just a little bit. But, you know, John's a great passage of Scripture, and I've always loved the book of John, the Gospel of John, precisely. Because of the way it begins, but not only that, John's trying to give you a picture of Christ that the other Gospels don't give everybody. Matthew's writing to Jews, and Luke's writing to both, and I may have all that backwards, I don't know, but John's Gospel is written so that you know that Jesus was the Son of God, but He was God in the flesh, and He's always been here. So read with me in John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to just proclaim your word before this church and, Father, online. And, Father, we just want to lift up the ones that have tuned in today, and we want to lift up the ones that are sitting in these pews today so that they would open their ears and, Father, their spiritual eyes to see who Jesus truly is. And, Father, we know that we believe here in as a Southern Baptist church that Jesus has always been. But, Father, let us look to see even deeper than that. Father, that He sees each one of our lives individually. And Father, He knows what was in our past. He knows what is today. And He knows what's going to be tomorrow and forevermore. So Lord, I just ask that you would just speak through me today. And Father, that you would just help me to say your words, Father God. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, to have 20/20 vision is something that a lot of us take for granted. You know, as our kids was growing up and we had Pete first, and he didn't walk for a little while, and he got to be almost a year old before he really started trying to walk. And then, lo and behold, we find out that he sits right on top of the TV. And as Carol was digging through the drawers the other day, I was looking for a stud finder so I could hang a picture on the wall that I got Carol. And lo and behold, she found Pete's first glasses. And they were thick little things. I mean, they were little, but they were thick because they diagnosed him. He didn't have good eyesight from the very beginning. You know, and I've had good eyesight all my life. Up until I was 50 years old, I didn't need to wear anything to read. And, you know, I went to the eye doctor. I'd never had my eyes checked. And you're supposed to do that when you're 40, right? Well, I waited 10 years past that. And but I went to the eye doctor here a while back, and he said, you know, I can fix your vision. I said, well, there's nothing wrong with my vision except right here. And I said, you know, instead of going buying glasses, I went and bought a new Bible. That's the way I corrected my seeing, so I could read in front of you guys without glasses, okay? So just know that I have a large print Bible laying up here, and not super large print, but large print. And but 20/20 vision is something that God has always had, and He will always have. And as we go through this sermon, I want you to see who Jesus truly is, because He is the eternal God, okay? And as we think about Him being eternal God, He's also Emmanuel, God with us. You know, Pastor David has preached, and he's gave you different parts and different people as we've went through this Christmas season to show you how God revealed to us who Jesus Christ was. And, you know, as I look back, when I wrote that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, who did He say that to? Well, my first instinct, it was Mary. But no, it was Joseph that was revealed to, because Joseph was going to name this baby boy. Jesus is given this unique title of the Word in John. Why is that? Why is He given the unique title, the Word? It says, in the beginning was the Word. Because words are powerful. And if you don't believe so, you haven't been through middle school. Words are not only powerful, but they're painful. Middle school is one of the biggest upsets of my life. Okay? And I just think about God's words and how powerful they can be. God's power words are so much more powerful than our words. And our words are no match for how God speaks. And when He spoke, He created the heavens and the earth. And Psalms 33, verse 6, it says, the heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of His mouth. You know, as I was preparing for this message, I thought back to a video that I saw that Louis Giglio done on the stars and all the planets. In that opening video, he talks about light coming out of God's mouth at how many miles an hour? It travels 186 miles per second. Can you imagine what that would have been like? How abrupt that would have been? And you and I take for granted the light that God gives us each and every day. But when God spoke and He created light in the beginning, takes us all the way back to Genesis. He wants us to see. John wants us to relate that Jesus' ministry did not start on earth when Jesus was born on this earth. It started way back before creation ever was. The amazing thing is, creation and salvation both came from the Word of God. Now think about that. Creation and salvation came from the Word of God. Psalms 107, 19 and 20 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He sent His Word and healed them. He rescued them from the pit. Now think about that for a minute. When you cried out to God, when you realized that you was a sinner, and you cried out for God to save you, when you prayed that prayer and said, God, there's nothing that I can do. See, that's at the moment when He reached down and He said, I'll take your punishment. I'll take your sins upon myself. He done that from eternity's past, guys. He did that from the beginning. God the Father and God the Son are the same person. Satan does not want you to realize that. He don't want you to dwell upon that. Why does he not want you to dwell that Jesus knows your life from beginning to end? Why does he not want you to believe that Jesus was from the beginning? Because Jesus conquered Satan. He has already conquered Satan. you know, there's a, as I was studying this week and thinking about how Satan works, there's a New World Translation of the Bible. And in this same verse in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." That's how it reads. Our Bible reads that He was God. The Word was God. That one little word, that one little precept, that one little thing changes the whole meaning. Because that means that New World Translation is in error, because it don't proclaim the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh. And if we make that deviation, then that's just one little step. And it also makes you believe that there's more than one God. Guys, there is not more than one God. There's only one God. And He is the God of the Bible. You know, as I talk about this with our youth, you read the Bible. Yes, it's one book. But there's so many authors in that book. And how many witnesses does it really take for you to believe something? Two or three is what the Bible reads. And when you read in John and He says that Jesus is God, and then you can read in Philippians, and you can read in Ephesians, and you can read all the letters of Paul, and they all proclaim, and you can read Isaiah. Guys, that's a testimony to the fact that it's true. Not one person wrote it. Colossians 2, 8, 9 says, "Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, based on human tradition, based on the elementary forces of the world, and not based on Christ." What are we going to base our lives on? It's got to be the Word of God and Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will stand up. That's the only thing that's going to last forever. His Word is never going to pass away. I wrote this down, and I didn't put it in my notes. But Jesus has been God from eternity past. Jesus is God today, and Jesus is going to be God in eternity future. All the way till who knows when. When we get to heaven, Jesus is going to be God. And that's the Word. But Jesus is also a creator. John used a similar phrase from the beginning to refer to the starting point of Jesus' ministry. Now think about that. John is calling you back to the first book of the Bible where we read. And he's wanting you to make that correlation that Jesus' ministry started at that point. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Did you know that Jesus referred to Himself existing before creation? In His high priestly prayer, when He was praying in John 17, it says, "Now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world existed." The glory that I had with You before the world existed. I want you to think about that. Before the world existed, Jesus and God, it's the reason it says that let us create in Genesis. Let us create. It's plural. And the reason it's plural is because they done that together. You know, my mind has to tell my hand, but they do it together. What has been written on this page is because I commanded my hand to do that. And that's the way it worked with God. They worked together. Neither one of them can really take full credit for it being written down. Paul also gave testimony of the fact that Jesus was involved in creation of everything. Look at Colossians 1, 16 and 17. "For everything that was created by Him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is above all things, and by Him all things hold together." Do you realize that we wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus Christ wanted us to be here? That's what that verse is saying in Colossians. And think about it. You're not here by accident. God planned for you to be. Hebrews 1 verse 2 says, "In the last days He has spoken to us by His Son." By the way, we're living in the last days. If you don't believe it, look around you. Go read Revelations. You know, I've been reading Revelations for the past month. Pastor David started that reading plan just a week and a half too late for me to get involved. I'd already started one, and I was already committed. And I've kept up with it. Me and my wife, we talk about where we're at because they're different reading plans. And, you know, reading the Bible through in a year is a great way to go. And I get tired of all those names. Whew. I'm telling you, Nehemiah is full of them. But let me tell you something. It has broadened my scope of what has went on. And it would be a great thing to read together. As Carol and I talk about our readings, you know, she's a little weak behind mine, but her reading is so different than what mine is. I'm in Nehemiah and Revelation. But He has spoken to us by His Son in these last days. Guys, we live in the last days. We live in a time that Jesus could come back at any moment. Matter of fact, I prayed that maybe Jesus come back before I had to get up here and do this today. Because it really makes me nervous. I love it after I get up here. It's just the fact of getting up here. But He has spoken to us by His Son. God has appointed Him heir of all things and made the universe through Him. Why do I keep giving you three scriptures? Three testimonies. Three different people. We don't even know who wrote Hebrews. We speculate, but this guy, he was writing to the Jews, trying to bring them alongside that Jesus was the Messiah. That's the reason I keep doing it. You know, Jesus is Creator. Jesus is eternal God. But in John verses 4 and 5, it says, Jesus is the light and the life. He's the light and He's the life. And I always wondered what that meant. You ever think about that? Why is He light and why is He life? Well, He tried to bring light. He tried to show the religious leaders that was there with Him while He walked on the face of this earth. He tried to show them the way. What was they basing their faith on? What did He tell Nicodemus? John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, Nicodemus was basing everything that his salvation and what he knew on what he knew and how he acted and how he followed God's rule. He believed in God. He wanted to follow God, but he based everything and he set himself above everybody else because he was keeping the rules. That's just not about, I mean, I'm not saying that we don't need to follow God's commandments because you'll have an innate desire to do that. You'll have a desire that surpasses anything. And you'll hate it when you don't do it. And if you don't hate it when you sin, there's something wrong. And we may go ahead and sin. You know, I can remember my teenage years of me growing up. And this just confirmed to me that I was saved at the age of 10. Because I was raised in a place to where I didn't know whether I was saved or not a lot of the time. But I know that first drank alcohol. I can remember the day that I bought it. I can remember where we started drinking at. And I can remember how I felt when I got done. And especially the next morning. And my mother enhanced all of that for me. The Holy Spirit used her to enhance. Oh, what'd you do last night? She's always asking me stuff like that. Of course, I hid it. I could hide it from her. But I couldn't hide it from God. And I felt such conviction inside of here. But He brings light. He told Dick and Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again. Jesus shows the way to have a relationship with the Father. Jesus brought light, showing our deeds cannot earn God's favor. No matter how hard you try, your deeds is not going to earn you favor with God. The only thing that's going to earn you favor with God is accepting His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. That's the only way. That righteousness that we sung about is His righteousness that is imputed to us because His blood covers our sins. You know, Jesus brought light by all the miracles that He done to show that He was God. Think about the lame walked, the blind seen, the deaf hearing, the lepers that were cleansed. How do you see Jesus? We can see Him as a humble servant. We can see Jesus as a patient person, showing patience to his disciples. I don't know how many times I would have liked to thump their heads for him for not believing what he said. We see him as a compassionate person. I think we could also see him as a very direct person when he dealt with the religious leaders. We see Jesus obedient to the Father's will, even though he knew what was coming. Guys, what if you had 20/20 vision into the future? Would you be able to face life the way you face it right now? Because to me, I have 20/20 vision about my past. And 20/20 vision a part of the day today, what's already happened today. But I don't know what's going to happen this evening, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I don't know what's going to happen, but God does. And the God that I serve, He'll help me get through the hard times because He's compassionate, because He's patient, because He's humble, because He loves. And we got to have the same kind of love that He has. In John chapter 10, 37 and 38, it says, "If I'm not doing my Father's works, don't believe me. But if I am doing them, and you don't believe me, believe me, believe the works. This way you will know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Why did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record so many things about what Jesus done and who He healed and all those things? It was to show us who Jesus was. If we can't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, then we need to look at what He done. The record of history of what He accomplished. John 3:16, I couldn't get by this, and this is a familiar verse. We quote it a lot, but guys, this is just the gospel message. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world in this way that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." And that word "believes" means something other than mental assent. You have to be following with your true heart, your whole heart. Listen to verse 17. It says, "For God did not send His Son into the world that He might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus. Jesus, the eternal God. Jesus, the Creator God. Jesus, the light and the life. Verse 18 says, "Anyone who believes in Him will not be condemned. But anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God." Guys, what's that mean? What's that mean, that the ones that have believed? That means that I have believed. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to heaven. But somebody out here sitting in these pews today or out there in this world, if they have not believed in Jesus and they die without Him, they're going to hell that was created for Satan himself. That's what that means. They're condemned already if they do not turn and repent of their sins. We've got to ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart. So why are we here? What's the purpose? In the last year, the last Sunday of the year, before we start a new year, that's the reason I included verses 7 and 8. 6, 7, and 8, actually. Why are we here? Did you know that God sent us to be a witness? Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus had a mission. And He knew what that mission was from eternity past. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2, you could see that his plan of redemption started before He created the world. But He also had a plan for a man named John. We call him John the Baptist. I used to get John the Gospel writer and John the Baptist all mixed up. I wanted to make John the Baptist write John's Gospel. And I wanted to make John the Apostle write 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. But the same John wrote the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But he's writing about a man that God chose. And He chose him from the beginning. He predestined him. Some people don't like that word, but I kind of like that word. He's predestined me to be a child of God. He's predestined you if you're a child of God. But the Son of Man came to seek and to save that are lost. That was set in eternity past. Jesus knew what His mission was, and He knew what John's mission was. In John 1, 6 through 8 that we just read, there was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. See, that's his whole purpose, that we might believe. He gives each and every human being a choice. But God has sent you to be a witness. Maybe you haven't been called to preach. Maybe you haven't been sent overseas. You know, I can remember when I was finally got brave enough to tell my family that I was called to preach. I come in from work, and Carol's mom was there, and I sat on the counter, and I'll probably get choked up over this, but anyway. And I sit down on the counter, and mom said, "What's going on with you? You're acting a little strange tonight." Charlene was just pretty much to the point sometimes. I said, "I think I've been called to preach." She said, "You may have better go." Her and Carol both said, "You better go talk to somebody about that." It was a Wednesday night. Praise God, we had church that night. And I thought, sure, the pastor at Morgan Baptist Church would tell me, "No, don't do it." He said, "What a Sunday to surrender to preach," because it was the Sunday before Easter Sunday. I don't know, Don, I'm not telling anybody. I'm telling you, but I ain't telling anybody else. But God calls us to do certain things in our lives. That's not what I wanted to do. I think I've said it here before, but I'll say it again. You know, I had my life mapped out. I was going to be a lifelong member of Morgan Baptist Church. I was going to be a deacon, and I was going to teach Sunday school. And I was going to be a witness. But God had different plans. Have you considered God's plans for 2021? What God wants you to do? Who God wants you to speak to? Jesus said it this way in Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go there, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Guys, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't get up here the Sundays that Pastor David allows me to preach. And he don't allow it. He asks. And I accept, because I know that's what I've been called to do, is to preach God's Word. Yeah, I've got a heart for our youth, our kids, of all kids. You know, it's one of those things that God put in my heart. How much longer can I do that? I don't know. How much longer can I act like a kid? I don't know. Ask Chuck. He still acts like a kid. He's older than me. Okay? Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power." Do you see he ended in Matthew 28:18-20? He said, "All authority has been given to me, and I will be with you always." Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And I'm thankful that I am a part of a church family that does all of those and sometimes more. I am so thankful that we're a mission-minded church in every one of those areas. Our hometown, the state of Missouri, our United States, and to the ends of the earth. Africa and Cuba, and all the places that we've been. But guys, it comes down to the fact of, what about you? What has God called you to do? And not necessarily that He's called you to go far away, but He's put you where He wants you to be. And you need to be a witness. And He'll reveal to you if He wants more. But He has put you there to be a witness to the people that you're around each and every day. And it's up to you to do that. Because you don't know, you may be the only person that Jesus puts in their path to reveal the gospel to them. And I think I've missed some opportunities. I truly do. And that's called sin. Times I knew God was telling me to speak to so-and-so and I didn't do it. But I've took a lot of those opportunities as well. And God has showed me that He uses those opportunities. You know, in closing, I read my journal back 2016. I just opened it up. I've got these little books in my drawer, and I've wrote in them for quite some time. And I just opened it up, June of 2016. Evidently, I had submitted my resume at Hillcrest Baptist Church, and I was looking for God's direction in my life in 2016. And next time I wrote in it, so this will tell you how good I am at it, okay? It was August. The last Sunday in August, Hillcrest Baptist Church voted to call me to come here. So figure that out. June to August. So I don't do it every day. I'm better than I used to be. Okay? I read about camp in 2016 as well. That was in June. And I've been doing boys camp and now children's camp for a long time. But God has a plan for your life. That's the whole thing. And you've got to take it one day at a time. But always remember that God is always with you. And you have the Holy Spirit live it inside of you. And there's nothing that He cannot do, because He's the God of the past, eternally of the past. He's the God today and of our eternal future as well. Do you need to receive that God into your life? Do you need to recommit to Him this last Sunday of the year? You know, all you've got to say is, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have broken Your holy law. And I need You in my life. Father, will You save me? Will You come into my life? Will You be Lord of my life? Lord, will You help me each and every day?" And if you said a prayer or something like that, then I believe that God has saved you. Because I remember saying that prayer when I was 10 years old. And I know today that I'm saved. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for being a God that's eternal. Jesus, I thank You for revealing and having John to write about when Your ministry truly started back in eternity past. And Lord, I just pray for each one of us here. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know You today, Father, I pray that they would come and commit their lives to You. Father, if there's one here that just needs to rededicate their life and get their life back on track this last Sunday before the new year starts, I pray that they would do that. Father, You said today is the day of salvation. Father, I pray for the ones that are at home today. Father, the ones that couldn't be here that wanted to be here. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that You would just guide and direct them and just help them. Father, I pray that You would just help us to know that we don't have to be in a church service to change our lives. We can be anywhere we're at and commit our lives to You. Father, just be with the ones that are sick. Father, we just pray for the troubles and the trials that's going on in this life, the ones that's lost loved ones. Father, we just pray that You would just comfort them. I just ask that we would be obedient, like Jesus was obedient. I pray that they would just do what You would have them to do today. In Jesus' name we pray.